This week on MXPB, all new April releases and then some. Plus, we take a look at the latest Kingdom Hearts news. Don't go away, MXPB starts now. Hello and welcome to the Morning XP Boost. We're your hosts, Tox and Glitch, and we're here to give you the experience points you need to level up and get through your weekend. Glitch, what's good, my man?
Oh, just another beautiful day in the neighborhood. How about you?
In the neighborhood? yeah, you know, everything's good. I'm still playing the Frozen Wilds DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn. I swear I'll finish that someday. But it's really fun to play, especially after having completed the main story, because I'm pretty powerful. So I'm able to, like, even though the machines are all, like, demonic and super powerful, I'm able to take them down and get some new weapons. And it's fun. I like the story so far.
Any more of those birds giving you trouble?
No more storm birds. At least if there's a demonic storm bird in this DLC, I'll be in for a treat. What are about you? Have you played anything good last week?
I've still been getting over being sick, but I have been playing whenever I get a chance more Wonderlands, just grinding the Chaos Chamber, waiting for the DLC, which comes out I think next week.
Wow,
on the 26th. Yeah,
that's really first DLC. Quick.
It is. It's pretty incredible actually that they're gonna have like the whole DLC lineup and. First DLC comes out April 26th, I think it is.
Do you know how many more DLCs there are planned after that? Are they going to keep it going at like a regular pace or something?
I don't. If we look back at previous Borderlands games, though, we can kind of tell maybe what they're going to do. So typically, what will happen is you'll have an initial DLC launch. Then you'll have three themed DLCs that will launch over like the course of the upcoming year. One will be for Valentine's Day, one will be for sometimes around the Christmas holiday, and then one kind of just in the middle of the year. And then typically there will be two or three other kind of like story campaign missions that they will also add on. So I imagine we'll see the same thing with this title.
Lots of add-on content.
yeah. So I'm really excited to see what's to come as I've been trying to find more weapons.
You're stocking up. You're gearing up for the trials ahead. I like it.
That's right. So
awesome.
Do we want to hop in the time machine maybe? And
yeah, this week we're going to talk about our history and news, including the Kingdom Hearts 20th anniversary trailer and the announcements therein. So let's kick it off with some history. All right, go for it.
All right, it's 1978. It's a year after the Atari VCS console came out that everybody knows and... Well, maybe not everybody knows, but if you are a video gamer, you should know of the Atari VCS. It was the first console that I played on and it introduced me. And did it introduce you, Tux, to video games as well?
I never really had an Atari. I think my friend did, but I don't remember which one it was, so it's less memorable for me.
Gotcha. So I think the very first game I ever played on there was Asteroids, where you played a little triangle that went around in a circle and...
Classic.
Shot out little lines. Yep. There was a couple other games that I played, but I really loved Asteroids. So
games today are still just triangles, so it's not really things of anything has really changed.
Not really. So upon the success of the Atari, at least in 1977, let us not forget that E.T. happened and nearly destroyed the gaming industry. But anyway, 1978, other people wanted to jump into the console war. Midway Games, who's, you know, that's a company really well known for basically anything that's ever been in an arcade, tried to create a system called the Bally Astrocade. It was Midway's attempt to bring its arcade library to the living room. It featured a powerful graphics processor for its time. However, the the company that they really struggled to really take advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, in the late 70s and early 80s, there were a lot of home arcade systems that took a lot of the popularity from the arcades, the games, popular games from the arcades, and tried to port them to, or did port them to their home systems. This is a time period, too, where arcades are sort of at their peak of their popularity, or maybe even declining a little bit. There was a real trouble spot in the 80s where arcades kind of, you know, were struggling. And that is also obviously when we got the NES in 85, 86, which really sort of solidified all of these attempts into, you know, what we understand today as consoles.
Yep. I mean, for a console that nobody really knows of, it had a 28 game library, so it's still not a pretty impressive. No, not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad. That's interesting. The Bally Astrocade. I mean, what an awesome name, Astrocade. Right. I would buy that. I don't care what it does. I'm just gonna buy it.
It looked cool too.
Oh well, there you go. Imagine an Astrocade that looks cool. Ah, so good. So, yeah, then in 1992, for the Super Nintendo, on April 13th, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, which is another sort of classic that many people are familiar with. Obviously, it's a Super Nintendo Zelda game, the only first Super Nintendo Zelda game, I think. I don't know if it's the only one, actually. But, yeah, obviously you play as Link going through Hyrule. You go through different dungeons. I think there's like 12 different dungeons, which is one of the most in any Zelda game ever. And it's just sort of an iconic game. Do you have any memories of this? I got a bunch of fun facts that I looked up because I figure everyone knows this game. So let's give you them something they don't know.
You are our show's Nintendo guru, so I have to relinquish this to you. I did not play this game.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly I have played through the first half of this game many times, but I don't know if I've ever finished it. I go back and play it, but I didn't play it first run, so it's a little hard for me to finish. But some cool facts that I looked up according to thegamer.com. So in the game, your shield is red, and this is, you know, the Super Nintendo game, not really, games of this era didn't really have like customization. Now, of course, you can customize your character's socks and facial hair if you want. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really faze anyone, but, your shield is always red, except, during a glitch in the game where, you faced an enemy that would actually eat your shield and spit it back out. If you did a little thing before that, it would spit about back out as a blue shield, which, you know, when you don't have very many like games and when customization isn't really a thing, like it's really fun just to experience those sort of glitches. It's like a little secret that is meant just for you. So those things I think are pretty cool. Other glitches include, a secret dungeon or room or whatever called Chris Houlihan's room, and apparently Chris Houlihan won a Nintendo Power contest. You and I think are both pretty familiar with Nintendo Power, and they would have these contests where you'd win Nintendo stuff, and apparently you had a contest where you would be in a Zelda game was the prize. And so Chris Houlihan wins this contest, and the prize is you get to be in a Zelda game. The way they implemented it, though, it's like a glitched room. So, like, you know, you can go into caves and holes and areas in the game, but apparently there are some areas where you are not supposed to be able to fall through, but you can. And in that case, you'd sort of fall back to a default sort of error area. And that's what the Chris Houlihan room is. It's got a bunch of rupees and a guy, you know, Chris Houlihan, I think himself pixelized in that room. Yeah, it's the error handling room for The Legend of Zelda.
That's really interesting. Actually, while you were talking, I was looking at the at pictures, stills, like screenshots and stuff of the game. It looks a lot like Pokemon, actually. Like, a lot.
I mean, I don't think you can say this looks like anything else. Everything else looks like this.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a top-down 2D game. So, yeah, a lot of games have that aesthetic.
But I know they redid, what was it, Link's Awakening? Was that the remake? Where they did kind of like a chibi style? Yeah. I could see them doing that with this game. This looks like, it would look really good.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the best games I think ever. I mean, it really, you know, Zelda for the NES set the precedent for Zelda games as being sort of slightly non-linear, more explory dungeons, that type of style. And the Link to the Past really just amplified that. A couple other fun things. You can find Mario's face in this game. He's on the wall as like a painting in a few of the houses in Kakariko Village. And of course, this game introduced lots of firsts, being an early Zelda game, but it was the first one to have the cuckoos, the chickens that help you fly around. And if you hit them, they gang up on you in a rage and attack you. They peck you dead. And yeah, other firsts, standard logo, theme music that we hear today, Pieces of Heart. Lots of firsts. Great game.
I love that. And I feel like you don't really see too much. I don't know. I feel like the time for hidden little like hidden Marios and stuff like that are kind of come and gone. I mean, in any of the new Nintendo titles, do we see stuff like that?
I mean, games have their own Easter eggs, but it's a little bit, it seems a little bit less. I mean, we've talked about the evolution of the game industry as a whole, and I think you have to go out of your way to work in those Easter eggs, and definitely developers do in different games. And I think also a lot of secrets are sort of not so secret, right? Because they spend time developing content. They want you to see it. They don't want to hide it away. So it's not super secret. And then with the internet, you know, anything that was secret that you thought was secret will not never be secret. So there's definitely Easter eggs, you know.
I like it.
Yeah.
So. All right, so if we go forward to 2002, did you have more on Zelda?
No, I'm good.
Okay. If we go forward to 2002, April 16th, on the GameCube, Spider-Man the Movie. Now, this was Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man the Movie, right?
Yeah, best Spider-Man, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. So, I mean, I love the Spider-Man games, and they've kind of gone through their own evolution. And this one, you had sort of fixed levels, but you did also have the ability to swing around in open space in some of those levels. You didn't really have any street level gameplay. I think in the levels where you were swinging around, you were mostly going to rooftops. And if you went below a certain elevation, you'd die. It's kind of like a bottomless pit type of deal. But subsequent Spider-Man games, which I played on the GameCube, I think Spider-Man 3 was probably the last one for the GameCube that I played, you know, started to introduce that more free roaming, interact with people on the ground, obviously swing from your webs and all that stuff. And of course, we've talked about the new Spider-Man games plenty on this podcast. And I just thought it was neat to note that April 16th, 2002, Spider-Man the Movie, one of the precursors to those games, came out.
I actually played the Spider-Man game on PlayStation back in 2000. So nice. That one, and I want to say there was a follow-up title, like just a second one, and they were really solid back in the day. Yeah, it was just Spider-Man 2, Enter Electro was the second one, came out in 2001.
That's right. And it was funny too, like, I mean, can't go wrong with Spider-Man, in my opinion, but it's really funny to go back and look at a game like this where you kind of take for granted how, like, perfectly Spider-Man swings from actual structures in, like, the latest Spider-Man games. If you look at this game, they didn't even try, right? You just kind of thwip your web straight up, whether there's anything above you or whatever. I mean, there's never anything directly above you, right? It's off to the side a little bit, the buildings, but you kind of just thwip straight up and swing from, I guess, invisible or sky, you know, basically nothing.
You're not supposed to see up there. It's off the screen.
Yeah, there's actually like a helicopter that follows Spider-Man everywhere he goes. It's the Spider-Copter, so he can swing from that. Must be it.
I think the first Spider-Man game I ever played was actually like, it probably obviously wasn't officially licensed, but it was on Atari, and you just kind of like climbed a wall. Interesting. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Back in the day. Spider-Man games, I mean, they've come really far. Look at where they are now. And if you compare them to other Superman Superman, we knew what I was about to say.
Superhero games.
Other superhero games like Superman, the Spider-Man games have really kind of come out on top. I would say them and the Batman titles have been pretty good too.
I think it even fits really well with like the way that 3D games have sort of evolved, right? Where you're sort of a person in an open world. That's kind of Spider-Man's whole jam, right? His playground is Manhattan, and that's how it goes.
And Batman's got Gotham. Even the I don't know if you ever went back and played the SNES Batman Returns title. That was a solid game. It was really good for its day. But I can't say that there has been a solid. And you feel like Superman has Metropolis, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that they've ever really pulled that off. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, I can't think of any Superman games off the top of my head. We'll have to go back and dig some up.
Superman 64. Every Superman game that has ever come out has had like the worst ratings ever. And
Superman 64? How did I miss that?
It was so bad. I think it's rated as one of the top like 10 worst games of all time, actually.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 3.4 out of 10.
It's really bad.
Angry Video Game Nerd has a rant on it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to look into that one.
But yeah, so if you look at other superhero games, Spider-Man is definitely a shining star in that area.
Yeah. Spider-Man's just the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in 2015.
No.
Again, April 13th. No. Glitch. It's back. You thought that we were free from it, but the very first Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PC came out.
Well, good. Yep. You know, Tox, we could probably put Grand Theft Auto 5 in every week for some sort of release, whether it released on PC or now this, like you said, this is the OG release. This is April 13th, 2015, Grand Theft Auto 5. Came
no
out.
Subtitles, no nothing.
Nope. And here we are, 2022, and it just got re-released again on a new console for pretty much the same price. So there you go. It's still here. Grand Theft Auto 5, 7 years later.
Yeah, that's that. We don't have to linger too long on that one. But next the next up. One... Next one is a doozy.
Tell us about it.
Okay. 2016 for the PlayStation 4 on April 12th, Ratchet and Clank. This game is on the PS Plus Essentials library right now, so you can play it for free you can play it for no additional cost if you have PlayStation Plus. Not technically free, but a great value because it's a great game. Did you play it at all, Glitch?
So yeah, I actually downloaded it, started playing it, and I saw that there was a movie that came out actually like to line up with the release of this game. And I watched the movie and I found out that the movie is the game. So I did not play the game because the movie is the game. They essentially just sewed the cutscenes together and made a movie. I don't know if you knew that or not. There is some additional content in the movie that is not in the video game, but outside of that, it's 100%. I don't know that it's ever been done before like this, but Ratchet and Clank, the video game, is the movie. The cutscenes, when I first started watching the movie, so Baker, Ariel, and I was actually playing the game, and I was like, let's see if there's a movie. This is really cute. I'm really enjoying this. We literally went in the next room and started watching the movie. And it was cutscene, like, it was scene per scene. And I was like, wait, what is this? Hold on.
That's hilarious. Well, so the premise of the game is that Captain Quark is retelling the movie, is sort of retelling the movie from his perspective. And I didn't realize that that was an actual movie. I mean, I don't know exactly which came first. It sounds like a little chicken and egg thing, but I think that's hilarious. I assumed it was just like, oh, in this universe, they made a movie about, you know, Ratchet and Clank, and Captain Quark is retelling that story. But it's also a real movie. That's cool. Yeah. So, but the gameplay is super fun. So I would recommend, you know, whenever it's pretty easy to pick up and put down too. There's not like too much you have to remember or keep track of between each stage. You can kind of just play it, and you know, there are checkpoints and stuff, so if you need to stop, you can just stop. And it's just really fun. I really like the variety of weapons in the game. Did you play long enough to get like a favorite weapon or two?
I did, yeah. What was it? It was one that I don't remember the names, but they were a lot of fun.
That's yeah. I had to look up the names again because it's been a little while, but I think my top, the one I use the most is probably the Pixelizer. Okay. I just love that because it's a gun that, so, you know, Ratchet and Clank, PlayStation 4, fully 3D game, pretty nice 3D graphics. So all the enemies, of course, are all fully 3D. You shoot the Pixelizer gun at them, and any enemy that you hit with it turns into a pixelated, like, 2D version of that enemy. It's really cool. It's like you get to experience a different sort of art style for all these different enemies just by using this this weapon. And, of course, it does damage, and then you can shoot them. You can charge it if you upgrade your weapons enough, which is another cool aspect of the game. You can go through and upgrade your weapons using a skill tree sort of strategically. So you can charge it up, do more damage, and then eventually when you've defeated the enemy, they crumble into like a pile of little pixels. It's great.
Yeah, it's a great game. The story is really great. I would just encourage you that if you have not played the game, play the game first. Do not watch the movie first, because the movie is 100% shot for shot the game. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I like the way they did it. It's got a good sense of humor. We got really good weapons. My other, second and third close favorite weapons is Mr. Zircon, who's like a little robot, not Clank, but like a little drone that'll come out and essentially fight on your behalf. So that's cool. And he's got like kind of a deep Russian voice accent, which is hilarious.
Mr. Zircon. There's
a big boss in one of the levels too, that's part of the Zircon family. I won't spoil too much. And then of course the Groovitron is awesome. You throw a disco ball and the enemies just start dancing. I think that captures the tone of the game pretty well. It's just really fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
It really does. It's just all around it. It really is. It's a great title. And I love how you see Ratchet kind of evolve over the game too. Like, he becomes more mature, and it's a great story.
Yeah, it's got it all. It's good game.
Then in 2019, on the Nintendo Switch, Katana Zero, which we've talked about before.
Yeah,
I think
I tasked you with looking this one up. So, feet to the fire. Did you do your homework, Glitch? Did you ever check this game out?
Is it this is the black and white one, right? It's pretty much black and white. And then there's
no.
Oh, what did I end up looking up then? Oh, no.
No, it's a like two, it's what did you call it? So it's a roguelike game where you play as a ninja with time altering abilities, and the style is it's pixel art style. But you know, it's got the modern color palette, modern animation, frame rates. So it looks really sharp, even with that pixelated style. It's just sort of dripping with character, very sort of kind of dystopian, like neo-future kind of world. But you're like basically a ninja, you know, with a katana, a sword is your primary weapon, and you go through the stages. They kind of have the enemies kind of laid out in a mostly prefixed sort of way, and then you go through it. If you get hit, once you're dead, but you start the stage over. That's the rogue element. And you kind of just learn the patterns of the enemies and of the room. And you eventually are able to do a run to get through the room. And it's one of those things where it teaches you and you get better. And so when you complete the room, you've got like a, it's like, you know, a perfect playthrough, right? Of just a small section of the game. So it's really satisfying.
I am trying to look up what game it was that I looked up. That was not the game that you wanted me to look up. It's a...
I'm just joshing you.
This was a black and white game that had a katana in it. And like anytime you would slash like a person, they would turn like red. Like the blood would show up like on the screen. I'll have to look that up and see what it's called. Yeah.
All right. But this game is awesome. I highly recommend it to anybody. Even if you're not a fan of roguelike games, this is a very light roguelike game, in my opinion. There are checkpoints, so you don't lose too much progress when you die. The story, I think, is phenomenal, which in my experience is not always the case with roguelike games. They're more focused on gameplay, but the gameplay is also really good. You can deflect bullets with your sword. You can pick up objects around the room and use them. Like I said, it's all very fluid. It's very responsive. The story is just so good. And they've been teasing DLC for this for several years, basically since it came out. You reach the end of the game, and there's a clear indication that there is something next, right? There is a room that's locked, and you have the key, but you can't go in it yet. And, yeah, the latest update we had on the DLC, I think, was earlier this year, where they had a little teaser trailer where they're like, oh, he's almost here, but he's not here. Yeah, there's just so many good things. The choices you make throughout the game affect sort of your personality and then their characters' reactions to you and therefore what happens in the game. So, you know, you can be really angry and really short and you'll get in more battles, or you can sort of talk through different conversations and get more information. There's distinctly, remember one spot where you're sort of leaving, a hotel, and depending on what you say, it either triggers all the guards coming in an epic battle, or you just walk right out. So it's kind of neat that those decisions have an effect on the gameplay, too. It's amazing. Go play it. It's not in black and white. So I think that about does it for the history. Should we move on to the news?
News time.
Tell me, what's happening in April?
Well, we've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it at least once, maybe even twice more. Lego Star Wars released on April 5th, and Tox, guess what?
Huh.
It's being received well. It actually sold more physical copies in the UK than physical copies of, what's the name of that game that's really popular? Came out.
Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes. Oh, no. I wanted to say Death Stranding, but that's not it. My brain has broken.
Oh, no. Broken brain.
Two recent titles that came out. Elden Ring. Star Wars The Lego, The Skywalker Saga, has sold more physical copies in Europe than Elden Ring. So I think
that's something. That's that matches something. My priorities for sure, as far as games go.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of physical purchasers out there. Tell me about Blue Milk Luke. There's a bit of drama with Blue Milk Luke right now, right?
Blue Milk Luke. I don't know, really. I just was kind of looking up stuff about Lego Star Wars, and apparently in the deluxe edition of the game, the physical copy deluxe edition, you get like a little figurine, like a collectible figurine, and it's Luke with like a milk mustache, but you know, it's blue because, I don't know, Star Wars, I guess. And apparently scalpers are kind of reselling that figurine for costs sometimes more than the game itself, up to I think 200. There's a listing on eBay for this for $200 for a $200 price tag. And that's a little bit of the ugly side of the scalpers and collectibles, but I think the collectible itself is pretty hilarious. Milk mustache Luke.
It's pretty cool. And it also does, it's a pretty unique minifigure, you know, for Lego. It also has like a little milk carton, like a blue milk carton that it comes with, which is a pretty cool little piece.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so neat. I don't know. How do you feel about collectibles? Would you want something like that?
So I am aside. I collect Pops a little bit, and I do I do build Lego. So I have the Razor Crest that actually Baker Ariel helped me finish. I kind of got burned out on it because it was a lot of pieces. but you know, I have a lot of the minifigs. We've got little displays for them. You know, I've got Grogu and Mandalorian, and I have a couple exclusive pieces from like sets and from Lego stores. So I don't know. I think they're pretty cool. They're pretty cutesy.
Oh, they're definitely cool. Where do you put them?
We have display cases that we put them in, actually, and we have them displayed in one of our rooms.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually. You can kind of go in and see some of the rarer ones, and the others we just kind of keep in, you know, in a collection.
Yeah. But
there's some pretty rare ones. You know, there's a Christmas calendar that comes out every year, and there's usually like one exclusive. So I have like, there's this Poe Dameron Star Wars character where he's wearing like a red Christmas sweater. It's a pretty fun one.
So I'm sensing a theme here with Star Wars.
Yeah.
I saw, I recently joined the ranks of Instagram. Like, I don't think I've ever used Instagram beyond like opening the app once until like a couple weeks ago, month ago, maybe. And I went down the typical social media rabbit hole, but I saw this video of someone who had like hollowed out their wall, or I mean, walls are kind of hollow to begin with, but like instead of having like a drywall, they had Lego, and it's kind of like this cool like mix of like it was part drywall, and then they filled in like a hole with Lego, and then but then you like open these little doors, and inside the wall are these like elaborate Lego scenes. Like, and they've got little lights in there and stuff. I'm like, it looks really cool.
It's pretty wild stuff. I know, like we have the full, I think it's like the whatever Harry Potter castle and stuff like that. So there's a couple sets here. We have not taken out a chunk of our wall and put Lego in it though. I mean, at least I gotta say that's better. If you're ever on TikTok and you see those people like cutting holes in beds and then filling it with ramen noodles, that's concerning. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's disturbing.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yeah, but they'll put like a pickle. They'll put like a pickle in the wall, and then they'll put like ramen over the pickle, and then they'll shave down the ramen and then paint over it. Why?
Why? Why? Why? Why is this happening?
Why?
this seems more like this appeals to my engineering side, where it seems like a space efficient way to house a butt ton of Legos.
Yeah. And so now they're doing some really cool stuff where there's third party companies that can actually make your Lego sets that have like lighting to them actually light up. So there's some pretty cool stuff out there. Lego has kind of grown over the years with us. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole thing. If you hadn't noticed, definitely is.
It's That's got a awesome. Game show, and it's actually pretty cool. They had, have you watched
what
it,
show?
Actually?
A game show? Like, with a host and prizes?
Yeah, it's,
does Will Arnett host it?
Yeah, it's Will Arnett.
Okay, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
They actually had two engineers. That were on the first one that I don't think they won, but they got really close. They were at the very end. They had some really unique builds. It's really cool. The next season's actually supposed to come out soon.
All right. Well, maybe I'll fire up the old television tubes and check it out. But yeah, Lego Star Wars comes out this month. Some other releases this month, MLB The Show 22. This year's iteration of MLB The Show baseball game. Do you play any sports games? I kind of don't anymore.
The last one I played, I think, was NBA Jam.
Okay, I played NFL Blitz. Yeah, I'm not really big into Madden and stuff, but like you know, this is, I think, like we've talked about before, the sports series have sort of condensed. EA is like the king of all the sports series. And so they've all kind of like condensed into basically one game. There's 2K Sports and stuff and MLB The Show.
I don't understand why they keep doing one every year when they could just do an update or like a pack release, like DLC. Why? Never mind.
Maybe we'll have to get a content expert on the show to help make us smart about sports games and why you buy what the appeal is for each new game.
Every year. Yeah. That's.
Anyways, I'm sure it's a great game. I didn't mean to diss it. I just say it. Yeah. It's like, okay, MLB. Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition. It comes out April 7th. So that's kind of cool. I mean, I don't think it's all new content, but if you're a fan of the Chrono Cross series, then you've got a little something to look forward to remind you of the good old Chrono Cross days. And did you ever play any Chrono Cross games?
I did not, unfortunately. Okay.
Yeah, kind of a classic RPG. I don't know that much about it myself, but it's out there, man. Other stuff, Dream Vibe on April 8th, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim for the Switch on April 12th, Star Wars The Force Unleashed for the Switch, April 20th. If I'm the Nintendo guru, you're the Star Wars guru.
Probably.
Which, do you know which game this is?
Yeah. Star Wars The Force Unleashed. So there's two titles in this series. I would tell you to pick this up on a system that is not Nintendo Switch, because it's not going to look good. There's no way that they could possibly port this over and make it
look
okay.
It's probably a cloud version then.
It might be. It's either going to be a cloud version or it's going to be incredibly scaled down. So this would be a game you'd want to play on PlayStation or Xbox or a PC. I would not buy it on Switch. But it's a fun game. You follow Darth Vader's apprentice, who he is not supposed to have. So pretty cool.
My.
Yeah, pretty cool story. There are some allusions to this particular character, as well as other characters in this particular storyline, that may be featured, possibly, in an upcoming Disney Plus show that, what is it called? Is it not Solo? What's the new Disney Plus show that's coming out? Mandalorian?
That's coming out? I mean, they've got a bajillion shows. Mandalorian Season 2? Book of Boba Fett.
The Obi-Wan series. In Obi-Wan, if you watch the trailer for that, there's a little teaser that looks like maybe we might get a crossover with Force Unleashed, or it might be that they're referencing characters from the other Star Wars title that EA made, which I can't recall the name of it right now.
So this one looks like it was released in 2008, so I think it should run okay on the Switch. We could probably handle that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Cool. It was pretty graphically intense for that time, I would say.
Yeah, for what but you were able that's to also do. 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Fine.
Switch runs Skyrim pretty great, so.
And Crysis, I mean, it and runs Crysis. It.
It does. So.
Other honorable mentions, Zombie Army 4, Dead War, April 26th, and Nintendo Switch Sports on April 29th, which they had a demo weekend where you could sort of play. They wanted you to help test their online play. Ooh. You know, I think we've talked about a couple times before, Nintendo is spending $1 billion on their online infrastructure. So hopefully some of the results of that online test play are realized in really good online experience for this game. I guess we'll find out at the end of the month. But you can play, it's kind of like Wii Sports. Did you play Wii Sports at all?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I don't think I know anyone who hasn't played, like even non-gamers, right, have played that one, because that was the whole thing with the Wii. It's like, look, you don't have to be a hardcore sweaty gamer. You could just swing your arm around, play tennis, or go bowling.
They still have those set up in physical therapy offices and nursing homes, actually.
Yeah. So, it's great. Cool. Yep. So you can play tennis and bowling. Those are back, including new entries like volleyball, badminton, soccer, and something that looks like American Gladiator. I don't remember the name. They have some Japanese name for it. But you stand on pillars and trying to whack the person off with like a foam sword or something.
Pugil sticks.
Yeah.
Pugil sticks.
That.
Yeah. Thing. Pugil fighting.
But it's really fun, and it's not $60. I think it's like $40. So it might be worth picking up. I thought it was a little interesting because when they announced it, it was like coming on the heels of Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, and the announcement for Mario Strikers, the soccer game. It's like there's sort of three dedicated games to sports that are kind of included in this Switch Sports thing.
And maybe like, just do a Mario Bowling. And then
yeah, Mario Bowling, and then you've got... But it's cool. I mean, it's meant to be simplified controls, easy to pick up, motion controls, so swing stuff around. You can kick stuff with your foot using the leg attachment for the Joy-Con, which debuted with the Ring Fit, which is collecting dust in my closet. But yeah, kind of neat. They bring that back, and you can use that to play soccer using your leg. And so... Now, in addition to punching your TV, you can also kick your TV accidentally.
Oh, goody. At least with this, you'll be able to see it. You know, with the VR, you know, those people, they punch their TV and then they're like, well, hey, why is there a big hole in my TV? What happened?
Wow, the haptic feedback is so realistic. It actually feels like I've got chunks of broken glass in my hand.
Oof.
Yeah, so next news item, what do you think?
Can I share this one really quick before we jump into the big news item? This is a pretty big one. So Sony and Lego just invested $1 billion apiece in Epic Games. They said that they wanted to solidify their relationship with Epic and continue to invest in the metaverse. What Tim Sweeney said, he's the Epic Games CEO, this investment will accelerate our work to build the metaverse and create spaces where players can have fun with friends, brands can build creative and immersive experiences, and creators can build a community and thrive. So this is an exciting step towards metaverse creation and implementation. What do you think about that, Tox?
That sounds cool. I thought you were going to say, you know, Tim Sweeney said, yes, give me all your money.
I think it's pretty cool. This also means that Epic Games will have access through some of the people have looked up like how this is worded as far as this relationship is going to go between Sony, Lego, and Epic Games. They will have access to some of their properties as well. So Fortnite is one of their biggest titles. So maybe we'll see some kind of Lego or Sony crossover. Either Fortnite into Lego, or maybe we see Lego come into Fortnite somehow.
That would be cool. I imagine that, you know, we talked about UE5 last week. Lots of developers are keen to build a relationship with Epic since they've sort of solidified their position with UE5. At least they're trying to convince us that it's the best thing ever. And it certainly looks amazing. And a lot of games are already using Unreal Engine. So it makes sense for developers to try to, you know, get a little special connection with the Unreal Engine creators there.
And Sony even stated that it's more than just metaverse for them. They also really want access to the creation tools. So it looks like we might see UE5 coming to movie theaters soon as well.
Yeah, I mean, Sony obviously does video games and movies, so that's interesting for sure. No, it's cool. I mean, I think it's nice to see investment in this. A UE5 seems like a really promising tool, and if it makes better games, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah. Now, does this bring us to the announcement of the day?
Yeah, well, you know.
What happened?
One of the big news items during the Kingdom Hearts celebrating its 20th anniversary made a few announcements, including some mobile games which look to sort of round out some of the story arcs from previous Kingdom Hearts games. mobile game being free to play. So that's kind of interesting. I'm sure it will have in-game purchases and stuff like that. But also, they announced Kingdom Hearts 4, which is a big deal in the Kingdom Hearts universe, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. And there's, I mean, there's a lot of new Disney movies that have come out that Kingdom Hearts 4 will be able to hopefully jump in and explore. You know, the previous title, we got to go to Pirates of the Caribbean or the Caribbean. I can't remember all the other places. Winnie the Pooh, we got to go to the 100 Acre Wood.
You had to go to Frozen, Arendelle and Frozen and
that place
what's
Entangled.
The one with the hair? Yeah, Tangled. Tangled one. I mean, Kingdom Hearts is a series where you... is known for having stages that go through different Disney properties, different Disney movies, and you kind of get immersed in that world, and you're trying to basically save those worlds from a darkness that is trying to take them off. So you're like you're wielding a key, and you close these keyholes, and that's sort of the objective of most of the games and the premise for most of these games. So it's really fun. I think, you know, you and I were talking before the show, we don't have much experience with Kingdom Hearts personally, but it looks super fun, and I'm totally going to play it now. And I know a lot of people who really love this game, and I think the biggest part of the appeal is that crossover with Disney. You know, your own character, Sora, who we saw come into Smash Brothers as the final character. That was a big deal. And you've got all these awesome, like, action RPG style moves. You wield like a key sword type weapon, and you have a party that includes Donald Duck and Goofy. So right there, it's like it's kind of this awesome, like, serious action RPG, but also mixed in with the Disney universe.
Yeah, and I mean, I've played I think the second one. I didn't make it too terribly far, as this game just, I don't know why, it just didn't click with me. Kind of like my experience with Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It was kind of one of those, like, I should love this game, but for some reason, I just can't keep playing it. I don't know why. But I think, like, I journeyed through a couple of the different realms where, you know, I met Peter Pan, and it's really cool to be able to interact with these Disney characters that we watch in the movies, and you get to see, like, a different side of them. You get to see different areas of, let's say, like Arendelle in from Frozen. So, you know, it's pretty cool, and you get to see stuff that's happening while stuff is happening, maybe like in the movie. So, like, you'll see a scene from the movie, and then you'll be kind of like somewhere else, but you'll see like the result of it or something else. And I think that's really cool that you get like some additional content from the movies in these games.
Yeah, it's always fun to see a little bit more of the worlds that you already know and love. And so the trailer during the 20th anniversary video for Kingdom Hearts 4 looked pretty slick. It looked a lot like an Unreal Engine 5 demo. And then Glitch, I think you did some typey-typey research to confirm that it's probably using Unreal Engine 5, right?
Yeah, they confirmed it is Unreal Engine 5, and they said it's going to really make it pop. I don't know that the previous games in this series have used UE or any of the Unreal engines. It looks like previously they used Lumos, another gaming engine, but they did use Unreal Engine to do some of the remasters recently. So this will be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer looked a little bit cobbled together. I mean, it looked like UE5, like, super ultra-realistic cityscape and furniture. And then you've got sort of, like, the more anime-style Sora and his enemy, and even just the other people in that world. It didn't quite blend seamlessly. It looks a little bit piecemeal. But, you know, it's just a demo. It's just a trailer. It doesn't mean that any of that is actual gameplay or footage or final or anything like that. But I think, you know, that was just sort of a generic city. I don't think a new world of Quadratum. But of course, what we want to see is the Disney areas and how those look. And I think that'll be really exciting to see.
Definitely. So we'll have to see what universes decide to clash with Kingdom Hearts and end up in the game.
I know. Do you have any that you're looking forward to perhaps seeing?
Well, I think, you know, if we look at the popular titles that made its way to Kingdom Hearts 3, we can kind of maybe figure out what might be featured in 4. I'm thinking probably Raya and the Last Dragon might get a little feature. Let's see here. What else came out recently? There's another title that came out recently that's really big. We don't talk about... What is it? Who is it we don't talk about? Is it Bruno? I don't think we talked about it. Okay.
You lost me.
It's a pretty big Disney title. There's a song, I guess, in the movie titled We Don't Talk About Bruno. Encanto. There we go.
That'd be cool.
I think that's Disney's like blockbuster hit right now, their big one. So I think probably the World of Encanto and probably a few others. I know Disney has their hand in Marvel and Star Wars, so I mean they jumped into Pirates of the Caribbean. They made it look super realistic, so I wouldn't take anything off the table from them. You never know what they're gonna do.
Yeah. Previous locations include the Kingdom of Corona, that's from Tangled, Arendelle from Frozen, we mentioned that, San Francisco, Big Hero 6, Toy Box, the Toy Story World, and Monstropolis from Monsters, Inc., including, like you said, Pirates of the Caribbean, Olympus from Hercules, 100 Acre Wood from Winnie the Pooh, and some original locations. And it seems like they're not shy on reusing locations, so... Yeah, some of those sound pretty awesome. I would love to see them in an Unreal Engine 5 PS5 next-gen console setting. It would be really cool.
And it's really interesting to see, too, in those areas, how Sora and Donald and Goofy change to kind of match the aesthetic of those places. So, like, when he went to Pirates of the Caribbean, Sora became, like, a real boy. Donald and Goofy kind of became these different versions kind of themselves. They looked a little more realistic. And then when they venture to these other places, like when they went to Arendelle, they had the Frozen animation style. Same thing with Big Hero 6. The characters can change. They're very versatile and they change depending on the realm that they're in. So I think that's really cool. I think it's a very unique game in what they do here. And I might go ahead and just push through and play 3 just so I can be ready for 4 when it comes out.
Yeah, 3. I mean, 3 is a modern game, so I feel like you'd have a better success with that. I really want to see an ultra realistic Donald Duck, just like really grimy duck. But that's just me though.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's all we have time for. Glitch.
I think you're right.
Yeah, but it's really something I'm looking forward to for sure.
And I think it's coming to the Switch. It's coming to the Switch. Cloud version.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 coming to the Switch is on the Switch. Came out in February, the cloud version. And I guess it doesn't work so great, but it's there. Then the other Kingdom Hearts games are also on the Switch now, which is a great place to play games, usually.
Yeah.
All right, that about does it for this week's episode of the Morning XP Boost. Thank you so much for listening, as always. You know, you can subscribe to this podcast, which you may already be, but if you're not, go ahead and do that. You'll get this every week automatically on your phone or wherever you get podcast. Does anyone? Yeah, it's your phone. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Where do you listen to podcasts, Glitch?
Yep, my phone.
Your phone. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It's
in the
phone.
Car. The phone
and the car.
Yeah.
From the phone in your car. Exactly. Yeah. It's like radio, but better because we're on it.
Exactly. Get boosted and tune in.
Yeah, get boosted and tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Glitch, any parting words?